Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When I saw you last week,
Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this 13th day of July. You know Pat Benatar put out some blues, did you?
That's all right.
Yeah, Pat Benatar put out a blues album back in the day. Anyway, nice. It's a good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And good morning to everybody in Belvedere Park.
Belvedere Park.
You know anything about Belvedere
Park?
Yeah,
it's out there on Memorial Drive.
Look at you thinking you know everything around here. Belvedere Park, for those of you who don't know, just a little quick thing there. It's an unincorporated community in DeKalb County, located border, East Lakes around the west there, Avondale Estates and Decatur. So, yeah.
Memorial Drive.
Yeah, Memorial. So, there you go.
That's where it is. Been there for a long time.
I just know
that from back in the day, because there was like Belvedere was a shopping area. Avondale had a mall.
Yeah, everybody knows that. Avondale Mall.
Everybody don't know. Everybody don't know
Avondale. I thought everybody knew Avondale had a mall.
That was a long time ago.
That thing closed early, early.
Well, I'm just saying.
You heard about it. You never saw that.
I didn't say I went there. I said everybody knows it. You know that name. Okay.
Well, the name. It wasn't a mall. That's where the Walmart is now, right?
Yep.
That's where the Walmart is. Okay. But, I mean, yeah, that was a mall out there. Yeah. As another mall disappeared this week with the one at North DeKalb.
North DeKalb, Shannon gone.
You know, I mean, level. And they were doing movies in that place.
What does that say when you see them just sort of? I mean, you knew this is the price of doing business, like Blockbusters. Yeah, malls are going down left and right.
Yeah, I mean, except for the few, the handful of survivors that you know.
When was the last time you were at Lenox and Phipps and all of that?
I go to Lenox every now and then.
Yeah,
I was out by Perimeter. You know, I mean, those are the malls that are thriving. The others, you know, have their struggles. Shout out to Mayor Dickens. He was out by Greenbrier. They opened up a bunch of housing out there.
Did he?
They're excited about
what
that.
What a Magic Johnson Theater used to be.
Yep. I mean,
and that's the
thing. The malls that, I mean, you got to reimagine. People are preferring more places like the Avenue and those places like that where there's open air shopping.
Right.
If they're going to go shop and not order everything to come to the
place like Atlantic
door.
Station or Chattahoochee Works.
So things like that are more in vogue today for people who, you know, are actually going to go out and actually want to try stuff on actually rather than have it delivered to the door.
Anyway, that album's called True Love. You're a Pat Benatar fan, came out after all her other big hits, and she started doing some. She's got the voice for it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw it out there. Also, I had wanted to mention this. I have never watched a Star Trek post William Shatner. I say that because it obviously meant many, many, many years with Patrick Stewart. It's his birthday today.
Ah.
What was his name? Picard? I never saw any of those. And that I had a problem with him. And plus, I wasn't a big Trekkie anyway.
Yeah.
But William Conrad was in. I mean, William Shatner was entertaining. He was just fun to watch.
Yeah.
I watched that one movie where the both of them were in it.
Okay.
Whoopi was in that too. She was on Star Trek. I forgot.
Okay,
Wouldn't she have a character? She had a character.
She had a character on one.
Yeah, in the 90s. I do remember that. I don't remember the name of the character, but yeah. LeVar Burton, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, LeVar Burton. It was good to see him, too. But, yeah, I never saw that, but I was just thinking about that because it's his birthday today. You know who else's birthday? Well, I'm not going to give you the year. But these two people were born on the same day and today. And I got to work with one of them. Tony Kornheiser. Not the one.
Okay.
Born on the same day as Daphne Maxwell Reed.
Oh, yeah. Outstanding.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Aunt Viv, for the rest of you who don't know.
Yeah, man.
The second Aunt Viv.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Daphne and Tony Kornheiser. Yikes. And happy 70th to David Thompson.
Okay. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's the last time we had the number one overall pick.
Really?
He chose to go to the ABA.
Yes, he did. Him and Dr. J.
Well, Dr. J tried to come here. Matter of fact, I started to send a picture. Somebody on social media posted a picture of Dr. J playing for the Hawks.
What?
Is a rep? Yeah, he played a couple of preseason games.
I know, but there's
a photo.
There's not many pictures of
him. There are not many pictures of him. You seen one?
No, that's what I was saying.
Right. There's a picture of Julius Irvin in an Atlanta Hawks uniform in a game. And it's just, I always say, it boggles the mind. Just the thought of him playing on a team here with Pete Maravich and Lou Hudson and what that would have done for pro sports in this town, period. You know what I mean? And it wasn't allowed to happen. And we're still dealing with that.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately. But anyway, that's not why you tuned in this morning.
Didn't I say that?
Yeah, you usually say that. Couple of things to tell you about that are happening in the area today. Shout out to the Ojulari brothers, Aziz and BJ Ojulari, products of Marietta High School. They are having a camp today, but I think it's sold out, but it's taking place today at Marietta High School. So they're back. They're both playing the NFL. Aziz with the Giants and BJ, I think, with the Cardinals. And, you know, they played at Marietta High School. They're back home and going to be doing that today. I think it gets started around 8 o'clock this morning. And it's for kids 5 to 12 in their hometown today. So that's going on at the Marietta High School today.
Teaching them kids how to throw toilet paper.
Yeah, well that's you got to win something before you do it, though. You got to win.
No, I thought it was just because graduation.
No, well, maybe graduation, but you got to win a state championship. If you ain't graduating, you got to win a state championship or something below that. Throw that paper.
They were throwing that thing up there every year just because graduation. They ain't win no state championships every year.
But they do it when they win the state championship.
They do something. They clean up there.
They win a state
highway.
I don't know who's in here. Somebody going to clean this up.
Who's
going to clean this mess up? You okay over there?
I'm just laughing because I'm thinking of coming to America.
Yeah,
that's why you did that.
Who's going to clean this up? Oh, gosh. July 23rd, they're having a student-athlete symposium for the Cab County students at Arabia Mountain High School from 9:30 to 2:30. And I just wanted to pass that along. And you want to find out more about it, go and check out Why Not Sports. And they're going to do some great Why Not Sports. Why Not Sports, a student-athlete symposium. Meet to check it out. And they're going to cover all types of things, the future of football, NIL, the state of high school football recruiting, and NCAA initial eligibility presentation. That's very important that parents need to know that your kid's got to have certain requirements in order to play at collegiate athletics. You can go out there and have them train and run and all that stuff, but if certain things you don't have done academically, you still won't be able to do it. And then nourishment. If you're going to be competing at that next level, start now putting some different stuff in your body, you know, and getting right stuff that's going to build you up to do right. And then there's also a session called Is Your Helmet On Straight? And that's talking about just the mental wellness and, you know, things of that nature, dealing with pressure and competing and maintaining schoolwork and family responsibilities, social pressures. All these things are going to be covered in this event. You know, to me, something like this ought to be going on all over town, but they're going to have this in DeKalb, and it's coming up on July 23rd at Arabia Mountain High School. Now, one other thing, and we're going to get into this when we really get Jeff Fisher on here. We always have Jeff Fisher, friend of the show. He'll probably be on with us next week. This week, he released High School Football America's preseason top 300. And we always get him to come on and ask him where our folks ranking. And of the top 300 high school football programs, according to his poll, 32 of these teams are in Georgia. We got more in Georgia than California. California got 31. We have 32 teams in our state ranking the top 300 in the nation. And the highest ranking one is Milton there at number 9. So the rest of the poll, you're looking at a number of teams. You got Colquitt County at 23, the folks from downstate. They're there. We have Buford at 26. You got a lot of Georgia teams that are there in the top 50 and then beyond. Carrollton at 43. We're going to get him on to take in and let him break down the reason why his analytics, his algorithm, whatever the heck he uses. but he always got Mater Dei up there at the top out in California and Bishop Gorman from Nevada, 1 and 2. In the 300 poll, in the top 300 poll. Okay, coming up in a little bit, and I'm going to look at you and Noel in on this. The Georgia High School Association last year kind of joined in with a trend that a number of states were allowing, and that was NIL for high school athletes.
Right.
You were finding that a lot of athletes, some on a national scope, like we have some around the state who distinguish themselves on the national scope, and they are, you know, cashing in with deals for different type things, be it shoes or apparel or whatever. And they're able to do that. And people say, well, why can't we open this up, you know, for everybody to want to do that? So the High School Association decided to allow high school NIL. That it was supposed to be different from college NIL, because a lot of people, you know, hear about college NIL, and we talk about the bag man, and, you know, people throwing money around.
Right.
And I personally hate the fact that people call that NIL. NIL is supposed to be for your name, image, and likeness, not just are you going to help us win games. But it turned into something different.
Because they didn't close the loophole.
Right. You left that out there. You didn't put the guardrail up for that. You didn't put a cap on it. They're trying to go back now and put a cap on it at the collegiate level, which they should have done from the start. But, you know, and people went sideways. And everybody don't have the same pocket. Some folks got deeper pockets. Like I said, people in the SEC, we got SEC Media Days coming up this week. Y'all think y'all happy about Texas coming in here? Just wait. You know, Texas.
That's like, but it's like any other business that starts up that's as visible as what you're talking about. The guardrails weren't up. There were voids in there. There were things that were allowed, but people didn't think it through because it's like it's got to happen now.
Yeah.
You know, decisions were made. The first decision was made. Okay, y'all can do this. Now everybody ran like it was the Wild West. Anyway, sorry, I'm stepping on your time.
But not just that. But there are people who are sitting waiting for this. There were people, you know, going back to the name, image, and likeness of the O'Bannons and
yeah,
EA
that's
Sports,
true, yeah.
Right? There have been people who were waiting for it. Right, you know. So when that finally came down, there were mechanisms in place.
They had the scam all ready to go.
At the collegiate level, well, now you got organizations who are seeking to get the high school level. And so that's the problem, you know. And when I'm looking at Georgia High School Football Daily, and in short, you know, the high school NIL is supposed to be endorsing products representing a company, not using your school's logo or school apparel, anything with your school's name on it, and also not accepting money from boosters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things can impact your eligibility. And that is what the GHSA is going to work on this week to amend. A special meeting is coming up. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to be joined by Dr. Kurt Miller from Oconee County Schools to explain it to us a little bit more in detail.
A little education up next.
A little bit. That's coming
nice.
Up. You know, so get your notepads out and get your number two pencils.
I didn't know there was going to be math, Sam.
get your number two pencils. And you know, you
give me a little sharp. Oh wait, I got my sharpener over here. Let me.
You've been to the store to get them anyway at the back to school. Say, let's put them to use this morning. Yeah, that's coming up next.
Go ahead, morning,
man. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929.com. We're available everywhere on.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition. You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Odyssey. Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. Sam and Greg with you on this Saturday morning. Glad you're with us. And if you're going outside, hydrate.
Yes, yes.
It's going to be hot. And suppose we think about that as young people get set to start their preseason practices for high school, because they're going back to school in a couple weeks. They, get on back in there. Air-conditioned
is
babies.
Is that what they say? Get on back in there.
Get on back in there, you air-conditioned babies.
Oh, that's
what you
nuts.
Get. You can get punished for having air conditioning in your school.
You don't get to spend we a didn't lot get, of time
no,
on the summertime.
No.
Hey, listen, before we get into this, I got some news.
Okay.
Just real quick. Don't make folks feel real old. And this is not supposed to happen. Do you know who's celebrating birthday number 61 today? Birthday number 61. Spud Webb.
Oh man.
You see what I'm saying? That ain't supposed to happen.
That does a little something to you.
That ain't supposed to happen. Anyway.
Shout out to Spud out there in Texas.
I'm sure our guest
may have something to say about that.
Making him feel a little old too. I didn't mean to do that, Doc.
Bring in Dr. Kurt Billy. He's athletic director, assistant principal of Cody County Schools. Good morning to you, sir.
Morning, sir.
Good morning, man. Y'all making me feel old. Spud Webb winning the dunk contest, and he's 61 now.
Yeah, really. We need to do that to you. Good morning to you. First of all, you're on dad duty this morning, right? You're out doing that, right?
We are. We're doing a little they moved all the volleyball club tryouts up to July from November and October. So we're sitting in the parking lot at Swanee Sports Academy right now about to walk in.
All right. Getting ready to
in the parking lot.
Getting ready to go to work. Getting ready to go to work. My goodness, usually when we talk with you, we talk about reclassification, and that's something that gets a lot of people rolling their eyes and puffing their jaws up. And we're not going to do that to you this morning, but we got something else happening, and that is a special vote that's been going to take place this week about amending the state's NIL rule. How did we get here?
Yeah, so, you know, this all came about, you know, it really started coming up about 2 or 3 years ago. And you know, finally, Dr. Hines and the GHSA, you know, we found that it was important to, you know, to participate in NIL and let our student athletes, you know, profit off their name, their personal name, image, and likeness. And, you know, everything was going pretty smooth. And then we've had a few things pop up that kind of raised some concerns. And so, really, we're just want guardrails in place. You know, we still have to remember we're in high school sports, and we've got to protect all of the schools in the state and all of our student athletes. And, you know, some people just want, you know, no rules, just let the kids do whatever they want. But at the same time, there's going to be communities in the state that are going to be able to utilize NIL a lot more than some others. And what we don't want is this to become the wild, wild west, and people are transferring from one school because they don't have NIL, and they go to another one who can afford to pay, you know, whatever they want, and then you're going to have the haves and the have-nots. And that's just what we're trying to do. We're trying to prevent, you know, schools and certain parts of the state from just completely dominating on the athletic field because they can have more money available to pay their student-athletes.
Yeah, and we heard some people in different parts of the state express some concerns about this. And going back to the scoreboard show, myself and Chris Parker last season. Nevertheless, this was something that, you know, Dr. Robin Hines was enthusiastic about. And they all said NIL clubs, collectives. Now, we hear about that at the collegiate level, and that is something different. This wasn't supposed to happen at the high school level, right?
Correct. And that's, you know, that goes back to us and guardrails has kind of become my word with this deal. But, you know, you start having collectives and you start having, you know, donation groups for certain athletes and teams. I mean, we're going to have an issue with transfers and, you know, the high level athletes wanting to go to certain schools because they can get paid more or they could just get paid. You know, y'all know as good as well as I do, we've got communities that have a lot of industry and, you know, they're very wealthy, and then we've got parts of the state that aren't. And, you know, the parts of the state that aren't are going to have, they're going to have a problem providing high level NILs to keep their own athletes that were homegrown, and they're going to leave and go somewhere else. And that's where we're coming from on our side, because there's so many unintended consequences with NIL, and we just got to make sure we're doing what's best for our schools and our student athletes.
Dr. Kurt Miller joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. This is one of those situations where I guess from my seat, which is not as informed as Sam and what you're doing on the front lines there, that you kind of wish the genie didn't come out of the bottle right now or as soon as it did, because there are, as you like to say, the guardrails weren't up. But a lot of this was unforeseen, because it is uncharted territory. Moreover, you didn't want to take the plan that college has in place and apply it to high school. Obviously, you couldn't. So all of that put into a blender, your world must be one of those, and everybody that you're working with making these decisions, where you guys are pulling your hair out trying to figure out the best path to take.
Well, you know, the good news is Dr. Hines was an advocate for this. He educated all of us. He spoke with executive directors in other states, and you know, he felt that the initial rules that we put in, which is Appendix N in the white book, would fit us and would do great for us. And you know, we've been working with this for a while, and you know, now we expected some hiccups, we expected some things to come out. You know, we didn't know what they were going to be, but you know, I think we're doing a good job of working through them. Dr. Hines is reaching out to, you know, other executive directors in other states that are dealing with this same situation. And, you know, we think that we kind of, what we're going to talk about on Thursday is going to, you know, really help simplify and explain more of what the GHSA bylaws are with NIL. But, you know, as far as getting frustrated with it and anything like that, I mean, anytime you're dealing with sports, especially high school sports, there's always something that comes up, and you just, you know, the best thing you do is just reach out to your peers and see what they're doing. And then, you know, that's what Dr. Hines and the state office has just done a really good job with. And Dr. Scott, now that's going to be coming in, they've all worked really hard and informed us, you know, on where we should go. And, you know, it's just like another challenge. And anything else you do, you understand the task and you try to figure it out.
What a note for Dr. Scott to show up on, though. How about that, folks? We were spending time on the Wait For It .com outline with Dr. Kurt Miller from Oconee County Schools. And he is social. You can always find him at Kurt_Miller30 at Kurt_Miller30. Let's talk about some of the things that are, you know, against the rule. And one of them is using, you know, school logos or the names on jerseys. That's something you go out and get a jersey that's your school color and take a picture and use it as one thing, but not one with your school's name or logos on, right?
Yeah, and, you know, and Sam, I'll be honest, I'm a proponent of that, because that goes back to what I was talking about a few minutes ago about, you know, you go to certain schools or certain communities and they've got the ability to provide high-level NIL deals for student-athletes. Well, people are going to automatically know where you're at. And I think that's just something that we have to remember. We're in high school sports, and not all areas of the state are going to be able to do what other areas are. And you know, that might be good, might be bad, but we just think that that's a safeguard we've got to put up for, you know, for our schools.
Yep, it was something that came out of in a note from the GHSA several weeks ago concerning NIL clubs. Basically, we're talking about organizations or collectives at the high school level. But I, you know, and here's the thing I think may happen, and I don't know. You know, we talk about recruiting and how now certain schools, right now almost all schools, have a coach on the coaching staff or whatever sport that kind of coordinates that thing, the recruiting thing. I don't know if we get to the point where some schools will have a person on board that recruits this type thing or kind of, I don't know, not negotiates, but maybe administers the guardrails for NIL. And maybe that's someone that will be on the coaching staff for schools. Am I going in the right direction with that? That maybe someone that you have on your coaching staff that says, okay, if you're going to do this, let's coordinate this with this school to make sure we're in the balance. Because we're talking about eligibility being taken away and maybe some penalties for the schools themselves.
Yeah, I think that this is kind of, you know, some schools or all schools really have tried to have to rework what they had in place. And really what we initially had in place was just sending out the information so parents knew it. But, you know, one thing I would recommend is just, I wouldn't put it on the coaching staff. I think that's something that should probably come from the athletic department. And, you know, we've got something in our district that if somebody does an NIL deal, you know, they have to report it to us. And then you have to log those with the state office.
Okay.
So, you know, we would just rather that come straight to the athletic department and let the coaches focus on coaching. And they got enough to deal with trying to watch film, draw up plays, have practice, and do all that they do. That's just something that we would take on. We would take ownership of that in the athletic department.
Okay. We creating jobs for somebody here. Talk about what you've done this offseason, because we're getting ready to ring the bell and get everybody back in school. What do folks in your capacity do? What's been your checklist to make sure you guys are ready to get going here in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, we offered more youth camps, sport camps at Oconee than we ever have, and that was really exciting. And we redid our gym floor. I think you might have seen that on Twitter.
I saw the pictures of that. It looks good.
Yeah, we were really excited about that. It looks really good. Got a lot of phone calls and compliments on that. And that was our basketball and volleyball booster club. The coaches wanted to change, and those folks stepped up and took care of it. So we were excited about that. We're about to get a new sound system in our stadium.
That stadium really already got the lights. That. What else you got to do to that stadium? That stadium got the lights, the dance, and all kind of stuff.
Be popping
up. Yeah, our district. Of course, they put the turf in before I got there, and the lights were there before I arrived as well. But yeah, they did a really good job of putting a state of the art light system in there, and we definitely use it. We use it all the time, so we're very thankful for that.
Before we let you go, Doctor, just take a second and talk to the parents that are listening right now and give them an overview or calm them down or just let them know what is around the corner when it comes to NILs and high school sports, if you could?
Yeah, nothing changes. I mean, if there's a student athlete that wants to try to make some money off their name, image, and likeness, that's still going to be available. We're just trying to, like I've been saying, is just protect all of our schools and protect the student athletes. Because the last thing we want to do is a student athlete get tangled up in an NIL, and next thing you know, this company starts doing whatever they want, and they're publicizing their picture in their school uniform and naming their position and all this, and all they want to do is make money off of that, yeah. off of the deal. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it hurts the kid. And so I would just make sure they've got a lot of things in writing. They speak with their school athletic director, and everybody's on the same page before they get involved in any kind of deal that could jeopardize their eligibility. Because at the end of the day, you know, I inform parents, it's not worth it. I would just not do it, so there is no chance of your eligibility being ruined. And, you just really got to trust the people and trust the process that you're going through.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Dr. Kurt Miller, we appreciate it. Hope they get those doors open up there.
Yeah, really.
Sports Academy, so y'all can get in there and get busy today. But thanks so much for the time, and looking forward to have you. And we're going, of course, Chris and I are going to want you on the Scoreboard Show some this fall, so we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Sounds good. I got one more thing I got to say. I get in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Yesterday, we celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary with my wife. So.
Yeah. Now, all right now.
There you go. There you go.
Congratulations.
Now, here's the thing.
You got to stay out of trouble.
never mind. We'll get all right, I wonder if he took her someplace special. but there's nothing wrong with
it.
Go ahead.
Man, we're 10 minutes from Athens, so we're going to go have a fun time in Athens tonight.
All right. There you go.
There we go.
All right. Thank you, Doc.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank y'all.
All right. Appreciate it. What'd you think I was going to ask the man?
I don't know what you're going to ask.
Yeah, well, see, that's what you do, man. You go right to the bottom of the rabbit hole in something negative. I'm going to ask him. About his wife. It's the anniversary. Trying to get some pointers for the rest of the folks out there having an anniversary. Where'd you take your wife for an anniversary? I don't know. Where'd you take your wife? Well, can you make a suggestion? Oh, that's a good place. Where you going to go there?
Oh, bye.
Yeah, so that's what I'm up to. The world's cruise director. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know what's next? Noel's World.
Time to go.
Yeah, buddy. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You know, you can hear that song live this week. Possibly. I don't know what the song list is, but Sammy's going to be here.
Okay.
Michael Anthony and Joe Satriani and Jason Bottom, and they're going, I think it's Wednesday or Thursday, something like that. They should go on up to the show. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I got two quick Van Halen stories.
All right.
One, and these are not stories so much as things I heard. This past week. Well, one is actually not one I heard, but today is the anniversary of Eddie joining the Victory Tour.
Okay.
Eddie Van Halen joined the Jacksons for a couple shows. This is 84, and of course he had played out, so he came out and played Beat It. Yeah. But he didn't do it in Los Angeles. He did it in Dallas, of all places. Yeah.
You know where they rehearsed for that concert, for that tour?
The Victory Tour?
Yeah.
Where?
Birmingham.
Okay. There was like an auditorium
they had like a little camp, you know, because they hadn't performed together in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they performed, and we had an event here in town called Light Up Atlanta, because so much had left underground and everything, the shopping and everything was out in the burbs. They wanted something to bring people back downtown.
Oh, okay.
So they blocked off the streets in downtown, and not Michael, but the rest of the Jacksons came over. Just for that event, and people were downtown. They blocked the street. People were walking down Peach Street, having a little something to sip, and it was nice the first year. And just like anything else, people hear it's happening in Atlanta the next year, and they stop.
Yeah.
And they stop having.
And to stop it, yeah.
But the first year was this very. It was odd, and there were people who had moved out. They hung around, or people who worked downtown hung around afterwards for this event. The streets were blocked off. You had music, live bands set up on stage, but this was like when they were rehearsing in Birmingham for the Victory Tour, and they came over for that.
I did not
know that. Because you wouldn't
know. No, I did not know that. Here's the other.
You had to be here.
I guess so. Here's the other piece of news, because we've got to shut up and turn things over to Noel.
Mm-hmm.
This was a story told by Sammy Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting having dinner with the person who is the subject of this story. So apparently Eddie Van Halen asked a handful of people to be lead singers of the band before they settled on Sammy. Sammy found this out. He didn't mind that much, but Eddie, who was Mr. Quiet, didn't say anything. And the person who Sammy is having dinner with tells him, yeah, he asked me. And then Sammy then said, you know, I've been keeping my mouth shut about this for the longest time. He did tell me he asked you, and I can't believe it. So take a second, let this simmer. Were this person the lead singer of Van Halen? Daryl Hall.
Oh, whoa.
Eddie asked him to be lead singer.
When you consider what's happening with him right now.
Well, this would have been 84, 85. He was a rock star then with Hall & Oates already had a catalog, but he asked Daryl Hall. He must have known those guys had beef.
Yeah, they got a bad beef.
So, yeah. Anyway, that was just one. When you think about it, it's like we do that with movies. So-and-so auditioned for this role. Can you picture Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones, yeah.
Which we'll get back to in a minute. But Noel, the floor is yours. And anything that you don't get a chance to talk about, we'll save that and put it in casting call because we talk too much here.
No biggie. We're just going to talk about
stuff.
A television phenomenon that came back a few weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
And I just want to powwow about it because I like it a lot.
Okay.
But you know, the season might have left a little to be desired, but The Bear. Is anybody watching The Bear?
I watched the first season, and the second season they started doing the individual stories and they lost me.
Oh, so you don't like the individual character?
I don't know. I didn't like that. I mean, you got me sold on a character. First of all, I got a problem with that one character who was trying to do a Chicago accent, and he sounds like he's from Boston.
I think I know the one you talk about.
That dude.
The tall screw up.
Yeah. That's not a Chicago accent.
Yeah.
And nails on a chalkboard.
See, that's why I was talking about this with you.
People from Florida who couldn't. Remember when Devil's Advocate came out, that movie Al Pacino?
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves' accent.
Right.
Yeah, no. He can't do no accents.
And actually, Tracy and I were talking about this because, you know, they can't make another Ocean's movie with Clooney and Brad Pitt and Matt Damon because you're missing Carl Reiner and Bernie. So you ain't going to make another one, right?
Yeah.
And then she was asking me about the characters, and she always wondered why they made Don Cheadle supposed to be British. And they go, well, they might as well put him back to Pittsburgh because everybody who watches that show kills his British accent or watches those movies.
Yeah, I was watching a recap on Hustle and Flow on YouTube the other day, and that was one of her complaints because she's actually from Memphis. So she's like, she's like, everybody but at least Neil, who's actually from Memphis, was horrible as far as the accent.
And that happens all the time. You know, there's only one Cuban in Scarface.
True.
Wow.
There's only one, and it's the guy who plays his buddy, Al Pacino.
Yeah.
That actor's the only one.
It ain't
who's
Pacino.
Cuban. No, it ain't Pacino. Which, he's going to come up again in casting call because I got a thing for you guys. But go ahead, finish your The Bear.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask you questions about The Bear. Well, it's interesting you didn't like season two because most people absolutely loved season two. My issue with season three is it's a filler season, and I absolutely hate that. So I watched 10 episodes of a season that resolved nothing from season two nor anything from this season. It just set up for season four. So I feel I feel like it was a whole filler season. Like it was just to jog us along to the next season. Like there was a cliffhanger where
they split up. They split up the seasons. That's what they do. That
doing it like season two, season three, and four. But yes, to your point, this is season 3 point or it was season season 3A, as they would say on ABC Family. They usually have season A and then go on hiatus and come back and have, you know, 3B or B6B or whatever it is. So, yes, this is 3A, and they don't want to call it 3A. So they're just calling it 3 and then next season 4. So, yeah, it's a cheat. And that's why a lot of people don't really like this season because there was no, you know, answered questions or character development.
And they started feeling themselves, and they just went like chefs. They just, you know, they just
started doing
breed.
Too much.
Yeah, just a different breed. It's like artists. Chefs, artists, there's people that the color of the sky is different in their world.
Yeah.
Which is what makes them create what they do.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
But sometimes hard for others to
exactly.
see. And sometimes you can lose an audience. But what I want to ask is fine dining that big of a deal in Chicago? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Food period in Chicago.
I mean, yeah, I know food, but like they're trying to move into fine dining on the show. So I was like, is that a
big? Yes. It's a big city. You got a lot of business.
It is a big city.
You got any big city, that is an element. Here in Atlanta. We just don't go to it. But I guarantee you, there's some folks in this building at this radio station. Let's get Steak on the phone.
I just about to say, I guess you got a point. Steak has a whole 2 hours to tell us this. So I guess you have a point there.
Yeah. They would tell us about all, there's a whole, what's the, I have a hard time saying this word, culinary.
Yes.
Well, Steak can go everywhere. World. Steak can go everywhere from the places where you stand up to eat to the places got
he's
the
Guy Fieri.
Got the table chart. the tablecloths, right?
Yeah.
You know.
From napkins to tablecloths.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
So, yes, to answer your question, yeah, it is prevalent there in most big cities.
Because I haven't, Chicago's still on my list of places that I haven't been to Chicago.
You will not, take five trips, you still wouldn't be able to go to the places. You'd have to have somebody from there, an Uber driver like me, Lyft, to take you, okay, today we're going to the West Side. Okay, tomorrow we're going to the north side. Then we're going to the south side. Then we're going out to the suburbs.
Oh, you sound like my aunt in San Francisco. I swear every day she had a different pocket or corner she wanted
that's
to
where
take
you,
us
cause
to.
Because that takes you that long to get around. You just ain't getting on, you know, the L and going from one end to the other. You know, you can't do it. You can do two baseball games in a day. Now, I know that. And then get grounded for a week.
That sounds like from experience.
Oh, yeah. If you know you're going to get your behind beat for
yeah,
going to a Cubs
go
game,
all out.
You might as well just stay out and go
yeah,
to the south side
go
and go to the
out.
Sox game.
Exactly. You got to be like kid in house party. Well, I already know I'm in trouble, so I might as well take the long way home.
If you do that, you go from a spanking from your mother to a beat up from your father.
Yeah, because now you don't worry your mother.
Yeah, exactly.
And your mother don't worry your father.
And he had to come home from work early. Oh, man, that only happened once with me. I learned my lesson once for doing both of them. I skipped a bunch for Cubs games, and I caught hell for that, but I only did the two for once. And he got me like Will Smith.
Oh.
As soon as I walked in. As soon as he walked in, man, he came up to me. And it wasn't just one. Fathers out there know what I'm talking about.
Say it wasn't just
old school fathers.
Yeah, now.
Boy, you make me come off work.
Yeah, man.
The only thing was missing was Jim McKay's call on the sideline or Cosell's. That was the only thing missing.
Wow.
Go ahead, Noel.
No, my only question for you, Greg, is have you ever been to Mr. Beef?
Okay. No, but I know exactly what you're asking me, and there's a million of those places. You're talking about a beef shop.
Oh, no. I'm asking specifically Mr. Beef because that's what the show, that's the shop that the show is based off
of.
Oh,
no, I've not. But, again, those
places.
Oh,
yeah, I'm sure they're a dime a dozen.
That's how you – I'm trying to think. It's literally like a kid who wakes up and says, I want to have a lemonade stand. There are families who decide they want to have a beef shop, and they find a corner, they find a place that's open, and they pop up everywhere. And then some last for decades and some don't.
Well,
it depends on where you know.
I will tell you this, in season three, they brought more of the owner of the beef into the show. Mm-hmm. And he is the most authentic Chicago character in the show.
He talks like this here?
He talks like that and with a lot of expletives. And he's kind of one of my favorite ones.
Go ahead.
he's kind of one of my favorite little cameos on the show because he interjects so much realness. Because since they're trying to turn into a fine dining restaurant, they've come up with this compromise to keep a beef sandwich window.
Right.
And so they kind of bring him in to run the beef sandwich window. And it's very, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it gives a lot of Chicago flavor to
there's
it.
There's a place in Vegas when you go down the strip and you want to, there's a Giordano's, a Tat, and it's like a little, almost like a speakeasy.
Okay.
But it's around the back of another building connected to a casino. So you got to know it's there. But yet they got big signs for the regular Giordano's. People know what I'm talking about there. But the to-go window is around the corner, around the back. And that's just reminded me of that when you said all that. But I thought there would be a part for if they're going to bring a Chicago. Like, Amy Morton was in the first episode.
Okay, yeah.
And that's the person I grew up with, and she's on Chicago PD.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Franz is somebody I thought they would bring in with that Chicago accent and be like maybe in, you know, some sort of elder on the show.
Yeah.
But hasn't happened.
Yeah, they went a different direction. But it has become the cameo darling.
Is it really?
Oh, everybody named Mama's been on there. John Mulaney, Sarah Paulson. I think Jamie Lee Curtis might win an Emmy this year on The Bear.
Hang on. I didn't know she was on there.
Yeah.
I didn't see.
So you
on
didn't watch
season?
Last season. Yeah.
Yeah
and she
see,
had a huge storyline because she's kind of like an alcoholic / mental issue mom.
Okay.
And so it kind of asks questions to why the kids deal with the issues that they deal with.
Right.
And so, so she comes in all types of manic. And they raved about it last season, and this year they gave her an even a deeper, more compelling storyline to go through with her and her daughter giving birth and all of that stuff. So I think she's going to be nominated for an Emmy this year.
Whose Oscar are you more surprised at? Jamie Lee Curtis. Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You know, you can hear that song live this week. Possibly. I don't know what the song list is, but Sammy's going to be here.
Okay.
Michael Anthony and Joe Satriani and Jason Bottom. And they're going, I think it's Wednesday or Thursday, something like that. They should go on up to the show. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I got two quick Van Halen stories.
All right.
One, and these are not stories so much as things I heard. This past week. Well, one is actually not one I heard, but today is the anniversary of Eddie joining the Victory Tour.
Okay.
Eddie Van Halen joined the Jacksons for a couple shows. This is 84, and of course he had played that, so he came out and played Beat It. Yeah. But he didn't do it in Los Angeles. He did it in Dallas, of all places. Yeah.
You know where they rehearsed for that concert, for that tour?
The Victory Tour?
Yeah.
Where?
Birmingham.
Okay. There was like an auditorium
they had like a little camp, you know, because they hadn't performed together in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And they performed, and we had an event here in town called Light Up Atlanta, because so much had left underground and everything, the shopping and everything was out in the burbs. They wanted something to bring people back.
Okay.
So they blocked off the streets in downtown, and not Michael, but the rest of the Jacksons came over. Just for that event, and people were downtown. They blocked the street. People were walking down Peach Street, having a little something to sip, and what. And it was nice the first year, and just like anything else, people hear it's happening in Atlanta the next year, and they stop. Yeah. And they stop having.
And they stop it. Yeah.
But the first year was this very. It was odd, and there were people who had, you know, moved out. They hung around, or people who worked downtown hung around afterwards for this event. The streets were blocked off. You had music, live band set up on stage, you know. But this was like when they were rehearsing in Birmingham for the big tour, and they came over for that.
I did not
know that. Because you wouldn't.
No, I did not know that.
You had to be here.
I guess so. Here's the other piece of news, because we got to shut up and turn things over to Noel.
Mm-hmm.
This was a story told by Sammy Hagar.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting having dinner with the person who is the subject of this story. So apparently Eddie Van Halen asked a handful of people to be lead singers of the band before they settled on Sammy. Sammy found this out. He didn't mind that much, but Eddie, who was Mr. Quiet, didn't say anything. And the person who Sammy is having dinner with tells him, yeah, he asked me. And then Sammy then said, you know, I've been keeping my mouth shut about this for the longest time. He did tell me he asked you, and I can't believe it. So take a second, let this simmer. Were this person the lead singer of Van Halen? Daryl Hall.
Oh, whoa.
Eddie asked him to be lead singer.
When you consider what's happening with him right now.
Well, this would have been 84, 85. He was a rock star then with Hall & Oates already had a catalog. But he asked Daryl Hall. He must have known those guys had beef.
Yeah, they got a bad beef.
So, yeah. Anyway, that was just one. When you think about it, it's like we do that with movies. So-and-so auditioned for this role. Can you picture Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones, yeah.
Which we'll get back to in a minute. But, Noel, the floor is yours. And anything that you don't get a chance to talk about, we'll save that and put it in casting call. Because we talk too much here.
No biggie. We're just going to talk about
stuff.
A television phenomenon that came back a few weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
And I just want to powwow about it because I like it a lot.
Okay.
But you know, the season might have left a little to be desired, but The Bear. Is anybody watching The Bear?
I watched the first season, and the second season they started doing the individual stories and they lost me.
Oh, so you don't like the individual character?
I don't know. I didn't like
stories.
That. I didn't like that. I mean, you got me sold on a character. First of all, I got a problem with that one character who was trying to do a Chicago accent, and he sounds like he's from Boston.
I think I know the one you talk about.
Yeah, that dude.
The tall screw up.
Yeah. That's not a Chicago accent.
Yeah.
And it nails on a chalkboard.
See, that's why I was talking about this with you.
People from Florida who couldn't. Remember when Devil's Advocate came out, that movie Al Pacino?
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves' accent.
Right.
Yeah, no. Was, he can't do no accents.
And, actually, Tracy and I were talking about this because, you know, they can't make another Ocean's movie with Clooney and Brad Pitt and Matt Damon because you're missing Carl Reiner and Bernie. So you ain't going to make another one, right?
Yeah.
And then she was asking me about the characters, and she always wondered why they made Don Cheadle supposed to be British. And they go, well, they might as well put him back to Pittsburgh because everybody who watches that show kills his British accent or watches those movies.
Yeah, I was watching a recap on Hustle and Flow on YouTube the other day, and that was one of her complaints because she's actually from Memphis. So she's like, she's like, everybody but Elise Neal, who's actually from Memphis, was horrible as far as the accent.
And that happens all the time. You know, there's only one Cuban in Scarface.
True.
Wow.
There's only one, and it's the guy who plays his buddy, Al Pacino.
Yeah.
That actor is the only one who's Cuban. No, it ain't Pacino. Which, he's going to come up again in casting call because I got a thing for you guys. But go ahead, finish your the bear.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask you questions about the bear. Well, it's interesting you didn't like season two because most people absolutely loved season two. My issue with season three is it's a filler season, and I absolutely hate that. So I watched 10 episodes of a season that resolved nothing from season two nor anything from this season. It just set up for season four. So I feel I feel like it was a whole filler season. Like, it was just to jog us along to the next season. Like, there was a cliffhanger where
they split up. They split up the seasons. That's what they do.
Doing it like season two, season three and four. But yes, to your point, this is season 3 point, or it was season season 3A, as they would say on ABC Family. They usually have season A and then go on hiatus and come back and have, you know, 3B or B6B or whatever it is. So, yes, this is 3A, and they don't want to call it 3A. So they're just calling it 3 and then next season 4. So, yeah, it's a cheat. And that's why a lot of people don't really like this season, because there was no, you know, answered questions or character development.
And they started feeling themselves, and they just went, like chefs, they just, you know, they're just
started doing
breed.
Too much.
Yeah, just a different breed. It's like artists. Chefs, artists, there's people that the color of the sky is different in their world.
Yeah.
Which is what makes them create what they do.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
But sometimes hard for others to
exactly.
see. And sometimes you can lose an audience. But what I want to ask is fine dining that big of a deal in Chicago? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Food period in Chicago.
I mean, yeah, I know food, but like, they're trying to move into fine dining on the show. So I was like, is that a big?
Yes, it's a big city. You got a lot of business.
It is a big city.
You got any big city, that is an element. Here in Atlanta, fine dining. We just don't go to it. But I guarantee you, there's some folks in this building at this radio station. Let's get steak on the phone.
I was about to say, I guess you got a point. Steak has a whole 2 hours to tell us this. So I guess you have a point there.
They would tell us about all, there's a whole, culinary.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, steak can go everywhere. Steak can go everywhere from the places where you stand up to eat to the places that got the table chart. He got the tablecloths, right?
Yeah.
You know.
From napkins to tablecloths.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
So, yes, to answer your question, yeah, it is prevalent there in most big cities.
Because Chicago's still on my list of places that I haven't been to Chicago.
You will not, take five trips, you still wouldn't be able to go to the places. You'd have to have somebody from there, an Uber driver like me, Lyft, to take you. Okay, today we're going to the west side. Okay, tomorrow we're going to the north side. Then we're going to the south side. Then we're going out to the suburbs.
Oh, you sound like my aunt in San Francisco. I swear every day she had a different pocket of corner she wanted
that's
to
where
take
you,
us
cause
to.
Because that takes you that long to get around. You just ain't getting on, you know, the L and going from one end to the other. You know, you can't do it. You can do two baseball games in a day. Now I know that. And then get grounded for a week.
That sounds like from experience.
Oh, yeah. If you know you're going to get your behind beat for going to a Cubs game, you might as well just stay out and go to the south side and go to the Sox game.
Exactly. You got to be like kid in house party. Well, I already know I'm in trouble, so I might as well take the long way home.
If you do that, you go from a spanking from your mother to a beat up from your father.
Yeah, because now you don't worry your mother.
Yeah, exactly.
And your mother don't worry your father.
And then he had to come home from work early. Oh, man, that only happened once with me. I learned my lesson once for doing both of them. I skipped a bunch for Cubs games, and I caught hell for that, but I only did the two for once. And he got me like Will Smith.
Oh!
As soon as I walked in. As soon as he walked in, man, he came up to me. And it wasn't just one. Fathers out there know what I'm talking about.
Say it wasn't just
old school fathers.
Yeah, now.
Boy, you make me come off work.
Yeah, man.
The only thing was missing was Jim McKay's call on the sideline or Cosell's. That was the only thing missing.
Wow.
Go ahead, Noel.
No, my only question for you, Greg, is have you ever been to Mr. Beef?
Okay. But. No, but I know exactly what you're asking me, and there's a million of those places. You're talking about a beef shop.
Oh, no, I'm asking specifically Mr. Beef, because that's what the show, that's the shop that the show is based off
of. No, I've not, but again, those places.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're a dime a dozen.
That's how you, I'm trying to think, it's literally like a kid who wakes up and says, I want to have a lemonade stand. There are families who decide they want to have a beef shop, and they find a corner, they find a place that's open, and they pop up everywhere. And then some last for decades and some don't. Well, it depends on where you know.
I will tell you this, in season three, they brought more of the owner of the beef into the show. Mm-hmm. And he is the most authentic Chicago character in the show.
He talks like this here?
He talks like that and with a lot of expletives. And he's kind of one of my favorite ones.
Go ahead.
he's kind of one of my favorite little cameos on the show, because he interjects so much realness. Because since they're trying to turn into a fine dining restaurant, they've come up with this compromise to keep a beef sandwich window.
Right.
And so they kind of bring him in to run the beef sandwich window. And it's very, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so it gives a lot of Chicago flavor to
it. There's a place in Vegas when you go down the strip and you want to, there's a Giordano's, a Tat, and it's like a little, almost like a speakeasy.
Okay.
But it's around the back of another building connected to a casino. So you got to know it's there. But yet they got big signs for the regular Giordano's. People know what I'm talking about there. But the to-go window is around the corner, around the back. And that's just reminded me of that when you said all that. But I thought there would be a part for, if they're going to bring a Chicago, like Amy Morton was in the first episode.
Okay, yeah.
And that's the person I grew up with, and she's on Chicago PD.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Franz is somebody I thought they would bring in with that Chicago accent and be like maybe in, you know, some sort of elder on the show.
Yeah.
But hasn't happened.
Yeah, they went a different direction. But it has become the cameo darling.
Is it really?
Oh, everybody named Mama's been on there. John Mulaney, Sarah Paulson. I think Jamie Lee Curtis might win an Emmy this year on The Bear.
Hang on. I didn't know she was on there.
Yeah.
I didn't see.
So you
on
didn't watch
season?
Last season. Yeah.
Yeah,
and she had a huge storyline, because she's kind of like an alcoholic / mental issue mom.
Okay.
And so it kind of asks questions to the why the kids deal with the issues that they deal with.
Right.
And so, yeah, so she comes in all types of manic. And they raved about it last season, and this year they gave her a deeper, more compelling storyline to go through with her and her daughter giving birth and all of that stuff. So I think she's going to be nominated for an Emmy this year.
Whose Oscar are you more surprised at? Jamie Lee Curtis is from last year, or Marissa Tomei's from My Cousin Vinny?
Marissa Tomei's. And not
Why
that she wasn't
say that?
Not that she wasn't
she
excellent.
She gets killed for that
No, I love that she won that Emmy. It was just shocking to know that you went from kind of out of place
world.
On a different world, and you let that go, and then you look up and she's at the Emmys. Like, oh, like, wow. Like,
no, the losing, Oscars.
I mean, the Oscars, yeah. Losing a show like A Different World feels like, you know, a life-changing negative. Like, even for Loretta Devine, like, she said it felt like a life-changing negative, like she was doing something that she shouldn't have been doing, because that was her first time being in television versus on the stage. But it catapulted to Marissa Tomei to something else. I mean, she's a Marvel person.
That's right. And what's the woman also from that show, Cree?
Oh, Summer Cree?
Yeah.
You mean
she's like
every black cartoon actor? Yeah,
voiceover
she's big on that.
Every cartoon I watched in the 90s had Cree Summer somewhere, whether she was a regular or whatever black girl they drew on to be their episode. Cree Summer
was
going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And anyway, go ahead.
Oh, no, we just having fun talking.
Okay, I didn't know how much more you had to
bring. Yeah, I just wanted to pick your Chicago brain on the show and see how, you know, authentic it is, and if it's actually catched your interest. So it caught you the first season, and then they lost you with some of the
individual stuff.
I didn't need to know
the back, because they jumped immediately, like ended one season, and then they jumped into the next season with these individuals and went back.
Yeah.
And it didn't give any kind of context to what they were doing. So you think, hang on a second, that thing got blown up in the first season. He's back there doing this. Or this person is no longer looking disheveled. They're all together, mm-hmm. and he's got another job. I was like, well, what's going on here?
That season three opened like that, too, where it was a lot of back and forth, like 1 minute past, and now we're in the present, and then we're kind of over here in the past, but not as far as the past, over here, and now we're in this part of the past, and now I was a teenager. And that was like the first 35 minutes, and there was no dialogue. So it was like, and then it just ended. And so that kind of set the tone for the season, that I didn't know that it was going to be like a season to lead you to the next one. And so, but I still enjoy the show. It's very well written.
That's your favorite show right now?
I think it is, actually, because I was very excited when he came back. Like, I love the cast. Jeremy Allen White and Io, I'm not going to mess up her last name, so I'm not going to say it.
And some other characters.
And like I said, Jamie Lee Curtis is killing it whenever she pops up on the screen with that wig they slap on. They slap on this. It's almost like Halle Berry. They just slapped on this distressed wig and was like, go. You're a drunk middle-aged woman. Go.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Well, listen, at least she can do it. And the other person I used to do that to on a regular basis was Allison Janney.
Yeah,
I mean, they're pretty
yes.
much the same.
Well, she was doing that on Moms for a lot
exactly.
of semesters right now. Yeah.
Exactly.
And Kathy Bates. You can slap crazy on Kathy Bates in any moment.
I had to slam her up against a van. Literally. And I told that Richard Jewell.
Oh, yeah.
She played his mother, and we shot that literally. If y'all don't know, Richard Jewell lived on
Buford Highway,
just down around the corner off of Claremont, where Claremont and Buford Highway come together. I lived on Claremont. Anyway, he lived on in those apartments just before you hit Claremont there, and so we filmed there. And so Clint had us out there for 3 days, and I was one of the four media members along with a horde of others. And one of the scenes that we did was the scene where she comes out of the house trying to get to her car,
mm-hmm.
and the media converge on her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Clint Eastwood story. She comes out of the house, walks toward it, and then they release us, and we go running at her, and
mm-hmm.
I swear, like a hockey player, we put her up against this van, and she starts screaming, and you hear, cut, and you hear Clint go, that was good, do it again. And we did it 4 times to this poor woman, beat her up. Did it 2 times, camera one way, and then did it the other way. But yeah, she earned her money in that scene.
And she was excellent though, as Bobby.
She got nominated for that.
Yeah, that movie got buried, and I hated it because I thought it was a great film. It's one of my favorite films.
And dude is getting ready to play Paul Walker.
Hauser.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I actually had a fun time meeting him, but he is getting ready to take on a role that I'm looking forward to, and it's one of those where you can't really mess it up. I think it's perfect casting. He's going to play Chris Farley.
Oh, that's going to be excellent.
He's going to play Chris Farley,
Oh, that's
going
to be so good.
And I don't know
and
what the
sad.
Movie's going to be called or whatever. Yeah.
Can we do that thing where we skip to death and we do this imagine thing? Because I've noticed they've been doing it where they just imagine a different, well, not a different ending, but they put them in a play, in like their peak, and they have you relive that instead
right,
of living
right.
the death. Yeah, let's do that. Let's not do the speedball. Let's skip that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, speaking of Chicago, I if you ever go there, the John Hancock Building, the famous picture of him being brought out. He lived in the Hancock Building. He had apartments up in there. So
Second City alarm, shut up.
Yeah, buddy. All right, well, listen, Noel, thank you. You'll be back with another installment of whatever is on your mind tomorrow. We'll be on from 6 until 10. Listen, there is a major event going on over in England right now. We've yet to talk about Wimbledon. Going to get into that next. Megan L. Hall from USA Today is going to join us and got a casting call. I'll let you know what's going on. That's the 8 o'clock hour. It's Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.